The real hopeless victims of mental illness are to be found among those who appear to be most normal. Many of them are normal because they are so well adjusted to our mode of existence, because their human voice has been silenced so early in their lives, that they do not even struggle or suffer or develop symptoms as the neurotic does. They are normal not in what may be called the absolute sense of the word. They are normal only in relation to a profoundly abnormal society. Their perfect adjustment to that abnormal society is a measure of their mental sickness. These millions of abnormally normal people living without fuss in a society to which, if they were fully human beings, they ought not to be adjusted. And it was said by Aldous Huxley. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Now, on last week's show, I spoke to you about finding yourself, and I spoke to you about how yourself is the ultimate truth that you're searching for. And I really cannot stress this enough, folks. It truly is where all the answers lie, because that's where all the power to stand up against the fictional system that enslaves us lies. That's where all the power to affect positive change in the world around you lies, and that's where the power to affect positive change within yourself lies. It all lies in you changing your perspective of reality, changing your perspective of what you are and what reality is, what the people around you are, and how you interact with reality. This is all determined by your perspective of what reality is, and this is something that only you can deal with, only you can change, only you can remold. And ultimately it all starts with you knowing the power that lies within you. I mean, think about it, folks, the sheer wonder of a human being, the sheer wonder of your very existence is amazing. The fact that you can be here experiencing a world like this, the fact that you are able to interact with other people within the world, the fact that you are able to interact with nature simply by observing nature. You can go out and you can stroke the grass, you can feel the leaf on the tree, you can see the ocean, you can smell the scent on the winds, you can see the birds. It's amazing, folks. This whole reality is absolutely amazing. And you are a perfect creation within this reality. So why is your life so controlled? Why are you so unaware of the reality around you? Why is reality to most people simply the walls of a city, the clock on their arm that controls their life, that tells them where they have to be and when they have to do things? It's like the God that is strapped to their wrist, that dictates their every move. Because people have this bizarre concept of linear time, and you have to do things at a certain time. Everything's got to run by the clock. It's this Gregorian system, this Roman system of time that's been imposed upon people, which has completely messed up everyone's perspective of reality. No one's ever really in the now because they're all running by the clock. They're thinking about what's got to come up, their appointments, where they have to be at a certain time and what they have to do, all of these things. They're running around conducting all of this business, and it's all designed to prevent them from ever discovering themselves, because most of what they're doing is completely and utterly irrelevant. It bears no relevance to reality, no relevance to themselves. It's bizarre. It doesn't really have any bearing on reality at all. And it's all designed to support this economic system. Everything we do centers around this economic system, the support of the economic system, and the constant need for fulfillment that comes with it. Because that's what most people are doing. They're constantly searching for fulfillment, but they're looking for it in sources that are external to themselves. And they're taught that fulfillment is about acquisition, and acquisition is, of course, very hard because we have a system of commerce that's been imposed upon the people, which by its very nature places everybody within the system in a state of permanent scarcity. And when you can see that this is actually how the system is run and what the system does, it's very easy to see why people are so disconnected and why people are never able to find themselves and find the truth that exists within themselves, because they're too busy trying to keep ahead of this completely convoluted system, which will never give them any time to find themselves by its very nature. That's what it's actually designed to do. It's a complete distraction. And I really do believe that it is all a big distraction, folks. And even half of what is being presented to people in the so-called alternative research community is a big distraction. It's all designed to keep people looking for things externally to themselves, to keep people running down rabbit holes, to keep people pointing the finger at others, but never really paying attention to what's going on around them, and certainly never paying attention to themselves, unless they're paying that attention to themselves in some superficial way. It may be some lady wanting to have cosmetic surgery, or some guy wanting to have the right haircut and the right suit and the right clothes and all of the rubbish that they tell us that we need to do in order to make ourselves more perfect, all of which simply detracts from the you that you are, that you are here to experience. And we're trained never to really focus on our true selves and to always view ourselves only as something physical, and therefore something that has to measure up to certain yardsticks that society has provided for us to measure ourselves by. And yet, while we do all of this, and while we keep our attention focused on all these external physical distractions that are provided for us, we're not really paying attention to ourselves on an inner dimension, and we're not really paying attention to what's going on in the world around us. Not as a collective. I mean, there are, of course, some people who are, but not as a collective species. We're not. We're sort of being led down this particular pathway. And a lot of people know something's wrong, but they don't quite know what it is, and so they start researching. They end up going down all these rabbit holes looking for people to point the finger at, instead of simply stepping back and noticing what's going on around them. Because the world is changing, my friends. The world is changing, and the human race is changing. All life on the planet is changing, and it's occurring very, very subtly. Much of it is being done by the powers that be, by those who are seeking to control the state of the human race, or the evolution of the species, if you will. And even if you don't believe in evolution, folks, you've got to understand that the people that are controlling the planet at the moment do believe in evolution. They do believe that we were genetically manipulated, and there's a very good chance that we were. I mean, honestly, you can't rule it out. But they believe we were, and they believe that they can evolve the human species into something other than what it currently is, and they're working very diligently to do so. And they're doing it right now. They're doing it right under people's faces. And so that's why I talk so much about self-empowerment, and I talk so much about human unity, and I attempt so much to awaken that inner power that lies within the people who listen to this show, because I believe that's how we can deal with the problem. We need to come into our personal power in order to deal with the problem. How else can we deal with it? There's no good pointing the finger at people or petitioning the government. What we have to do is we have to realize that the system that enslaves us is not, in fact, real. It only exists on paper. It's just a fictional system. It's a meme. And the only thing that perpetuates the system is our belief that it is real. And again, it comes back to what I was just talking about, how we're always kept busy, we're always kept distracted, we're always kept running down rabbit holes, we're always kept chasing paper, and because of that, we never discover who we are until we're too old and it's too late and we can't really do much about it, but most certainly never in the times of youth, because the youth are brutalized and brainwashed with television and games and trinkets and all this stuff that they believe they need to have in order to be a real person. And only youth is exalted in our society. The youth don't respect the older people. They're taught not to respect the older people. It's not about the old people. It's about the youth, the vibrance of youth. And yet, when you are young, you don't have the information that the older people have. And the youth won't listen to the information that the older people wish to convey to them. And so the young people go through life like it's a game, it's a roller coaster ride, until one day they discover that they're old. Because the youth go through life believing that they will never grow old. It's not about old. Old doesn't exist. You don't want to be old. Don't even think that you're old. You never grow old. You're just eternally young. And yet one day you wake up and you look in the mirror and you find that there are wrinkles on your face. You find that you have grown old. And so now you are virtually discarded by this society, because this society focuses on the youth. Because if you can distract the youth enough, keep the youth running down rabbit holes, keep the youth buying trinkets, get them in debt as much as you can, even through their education system. I mean, kids have to pay for their education these days so that they come out of college and they have a massive debt that they owe to the world. If they ever get a job, they have to pay the government back all this money, when education should be free. And not only should it be free, it should be proper education. It should be education in trivium, quadrivium, and all the things that are real about the world, all the things that are real about you. It should be education in how to discover yourself and how to improve this planet, not simply education on how to be a good little cog for the big machine. And not only that, but charging you in order to learn how to be this functional little robot, or perhaps just usable cannon fodder for the military-industrial complex. That's always another good job prospect for the youth, and that's what our society has become. But it's all very, very focused on the youth, because that's where distraction is needed, because that's where the real power in society lies. It lies with the youth. If you can shape the minds of the kids, then you can shape reality. There's some ancient Oriental wisdom that once said, if you want to defeat your enemy, bring up his children. And there's some incredible wisdom in that. And so by teaching the youth that it is all about the youth, and that it's a go out there and get them world, and you've only really got until you're 30 to make it, because after that it's all over the hill, then you can achieve the results that we see today. And when you think about it, folks, it makes perfect sense to actually exalt the elders in society, because it is the elders in the society that have the information that the youth need, because they've done it, they've lived longer, and they have something to offer, if only the youth would listen. And many times the youth will listen. I mean, there is still many people who respect their elders, but as a culture, as a society in general, what you see is an exaltation of youth. Very, very prevalent in our society, and all done very, very specifically, done very methodically, and done very much for a reason. And it's just to ensure that you have a distracted society. You have an adolescent culture and a distracted society, because the Western culture is extremely adolescent because of the exaltation of youth. And so once people do get to a stage where they've got a few wrinkles on their face and their youth starts to fade, suddenly they feel dejected. They don't feel like they've really learnt anything. And in many cases, they feel like they're a failure because they haven't achieved all the things that they thought they should achieve. They haven't measured themselves up properly to all of the yardsticks that society has provided for them. Oh no, you haven't done this or this or this or this. You haven't done any of the things you wanted to do. You weren't successful in the fields you wanted to be successful in. And now your youth is fading, so it's all over. That's just the way people are trained to think. And again, folks, it's all a distraction, because that's just not what life is about. Life is a gift. In fact, the entire world is a gift. This entire reality is a gift. But life essentially is a gift we grant to ourselves in order to discover who and what we are. It's a gift that we grant to ourselves from the higher consciousness to which we all ultimately belong. The higher consciousness may be what some have called God, but what it actually is the energy, the very fabric, the conscious stuff from which reality is constructed. The pure conscious energy of creation. Because ultimately that's where you come from. That's where your consciousness comes from. That is where everything comes from, and it's all connected. The largest planetary object, or galactic object, universal-sized object, right down to the tiniest particle of an atom, and everything in between, it's all connected. And that is where you come from. That's where your consciousness comes from. That is where everything comes from. And the trick is to find a way to reconnect to it while still retaining your place in this 3D reality, in what some might term to be the great amnesiatic experiment of consciousness, which is essentially what this reality is. We come here with complete amnesia of our connection to the world around us and see what we can make of the place. And so far, looking around me, folks, I think we've gone a little bit down the wrong path. I think we may have been a little bit negligent in our duties towards this wonderful planet that we inhabit. And as I've said so many times on previous shows, what I see before us now is an opportunity to actually deal with the situation that we've allowed to be created. And one of the biggest problems that we face in this society, and one of the biggest problems that's allowed all of this to be created around us, is of course the monetary system. And it isn't the money itself, although the money is a big problem. But rather than the money itself, it's the imposition of a monetary system over human consciousness, which has served to turn the human life experience into commerce. And it really is insidious in so many ways, folks, because what the money system actually does, not only does it turn people's lives into commerce and force people into a position where they have to pay to be alive, but it also removes from them the opportunity to give to others. Because everybody always must be working to achieve an income, so they're financially secure. And this takes away people's ability to give. But really, if you can put all that aside and start giving of yourself to people and start giving to people around you, you'll find that people will give back. The world will, in fact, look after you. You may not be rich, but what is wealth? I mean, this is the way I live my life, folks, and though I don't have a lot of stuff, I don't have a lot of money, I do have everything that I need in order to survive, in order to get these shows out to you every week, and to just get by in my life. I'm looked after because I give of myself. I give all that I can to people, and because I don't expect anything in return, everything just seems to fall into place and everything is provided for me. But see, what I believe that I'm doing by giving of myself to others is I'm providing them with the opportunity to give back. You see, when you charge someone for a service, you are not giving of yourself. And I've actually done shows about this, I think, where I've mentioned that what you're doing is you're turning people into a commodity so that they provide you with what you need, namely money. You're providing a service for them. And you think, well, this is a fair trade. I'm providing a service for them, so they're providing money for me. But you're not actually providing a service for them. You're selling a service to them, and you're demanding a fee for that service. Whereas I don't do that. I just give to people, and people give back. But if you sell something to someone, you deprive them of the opportunity to give. Of course, a lot of people won't give. And, of course, a lot of people are uncomfortable giving of themselves to others because they are scared that the people they are giving to are simply going to take advantage of them and not give anything back. And so, of course, they're in the wrong energetic state right from the word go. And it's the same with when a person gives to someone, but they then believe the universe will look after them because they did give. Well, no, the universe won't, because they're expecting it to. It doesn't work that way. You have to have complete detachment. And I don't give because I expect anything in return. I give because it's the right thing to do. And I give because my intuition tells me to. And that is not to say that I give to everybody. I mean, I don't just walk around acting like a charity and giving money to every beggar on the street and giving to everybody I can and allowing myself to be taken advantage of. But there are certain situations where my intuition tells me that I need to give to this person. And so I do. And as far as the radio shows and the website and all that goes, well, I do all that for free because that is my gift to humanity. I mean, if I would like to wake this consciousness up in any way, well, obviously I need to lead by example. And as I've said before, I've also done it because I want people to understand that I don't do what I do for fame or fortune. I don't say what I say because I need to be treated different or want to be treated differently to anybody or because I expect anything back in return. I say it simply because I believe it needs to be said. I have the ability to do so, so perhaps that's why I'm here, is to say the things that I say, in the hope that someone might listen. But again, even in doing so, folks, all I'm offering you is my perspective, because that's all that I ultimately have to offer. And I'm probably getting a little bit off topic there, but what I'm essentially trying to say, folks, is to help people understand the importance of re-establishing a gift-based culture. A gift-based economy. We really can achieve some wonderful things with the power of giving. And encouraging people to give simply because it's the right thing to do is the key. But again, I don't want to see people going and getting in trouble with this. I mean, Max told me to give, so I went and gave everything I have, and now everybody's taken everything I have from me, and I have nothing. See, it doesn't work that way. You've got to not give to people because they are simply too lazy to give to themselves. You need to learn to communicate with the emotional field, the energetic field around you, and you need to learn to listen to your intuition, because your intuition will tell you what to do at virtually every moment of every day. It will guide you if you are simply open to the information. Because it's always there. The field's always talking to you. You can always conduct your life in this way, but you have to be open to it. And I believe that if people were open to this type of information, and people were open to living their lives in this way, and they were open to this communication, this ongoing communication that's happening all the time around them, then things would be very, very different in the world today. I think that would be a very easy way to stop the powers that be in their tracks. In fact, I don't think the powers would be if we all operated with our full emotional capacity all the time. And folks, when you're giving to others, you've also got to make sure you're not taking from yourself. See, there is only one law of creation, and I've said this many times, and that is service to creation. And you've got to realize that you are also part of creation. So if you are serving others at the expense of yourself, then you're not serving creation. You're simply depleting yourself in order to serve others, and so you're out of balance. And it goes the other way as well. If you're serving yourself at the expense of others, then you are also out of balance. You're not giving to creation. See, you are as valuable as everybody else. You are as valuable as everybody around you. And so you need to give to yourself as much as you give to others. You need to make sure that things are kept in balance. And folks, it isn't like you have to try to do this. You don't have to maintain some list or maintain some imaginary set of scales to keep things in balance. What you have to do is always be following your path of Dharma. Always make sure you're doing the right thing in the right way at the right time for the right reason. That's the way it works. And if you ask what is right, well, is it in service to creation? So you follow those simple rules and you find that your life simply unfolds before you and everything just falls into place exactly the way it's supposed to. You just follow the synchronicity. That's what my life is, folks. My life is one huge series of synchronistic events and has been for a very long time now. And this is the way people's lives can work. This is the way your life can work, but you have to be open to it. You have to get this stress out of your life. You have to get the fear out of your life. Fear is the most all-pervasive weapon that's ever been used against us, really. And the fear comes from all directions. One of the most prevalent, of course, is economic fear. We are always in fear of not being able to pay the bills. And the other is the shadow in ourselves, the personal fear that we feel when we attempt to find out who and what we are, the darker side of ourselves. Very often we're also in fear of the power that we see there and the power that we hold, because we are very, very powerful beings, but very often we are very much in fear of ever standing in that power, very much in fear of being all that we can be. Because when you are all that you can be, and you stand in your own personal power, with that power comes great responsibility. And you suddenly become responsible for yourself, for your actions, for your deeds, your words, your thoughts, and for all that you do. And that can be a big shock for people. It really can. It can come as a huge surprise when you realize that there is no one to blame for any aspect of your life, because you have the ability to change it. We all do have the ability to change any aspect of our lives, folks. And of course, there are exceptions to this. You may be someone who is in prison or someone who is in a state of some sort of bondage, and your life is controlled by somebody else. And so it may be rather difficult for you. But in fact, even within such situations, you're also being provided with an opportunity to change things. Even though some of the methods that you may need to employ to do so may seem a little drastic, but perhaps with an overcoming of fear, these measures may be implemented anyway, and you may thereby learn the lesson that you need to learn. Because whatever situation we're in that situation in order to learn a lesson. I do firmly believe this, folks. I believe that all of the things that happened to me in my earlier parts of life, some of which were quite horrendous, I had quite a difficult life. I was my own worst enemy for a long time. And I went through a lot of trials and tribulations in my life. At the time, they were quite horrendous, and I was severely depressed at certain stages of my life. But looking back on them now, I treasure every single one of them because every one of them provided me with the opportunity to be right where I am now, because every one of them provided me with an opportunity for growth. I'm thankful to my own self and my own character that I accepted the challenges before me and I embraced the opportunities they provided for me, and I did grow and I became the person that I am today. But were I not to have gone through all of the trials and tribulations and all the negative stuff that happened to me in my life, I would never have been provided with those opportunities for growth, and so I would not be here speaking to you today. I wouldn't be doing anything that I'm doing today. I would not be who I am today were it not for all the trials and tribulations that I had to pass through to get here. So ultimately, folks, there is a silver lining in all the problems that you face, and all of them are opportunities for growth, and all of them lead you to a point where you will finally discover yourself if you are open to the information. And so life truly is a great gift, my friends. And I think it's break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the show today, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. And welcome back, folks. So, in doing all these radio shows that I've done for you folks, the intention that I've had in these shows is to just attempt to help people to see what we could achieve as a species if we put our minds to it. And I really think we can do that. I really still think that we have the opportunity to do so. I think we have a great future ahead of us if we would simply embrace it. But I do very much think we're being given an ultimatum by consciousness itself, if you will. I think that we're being given a choice between love and fear. I think we're being given a choice between which way we will choose to evolve. When I look around me at the state of the world, it's just shocking what we've allowed to happen. And I really feel sorrow and empathy for the suffering that exists in the world. I feel the pain of my brothers and sisters around the planet. I feel the pain of what's happening in Palestine. I feel the pain of Chappelle Corby, wrongly imprisoned in jail. I feel the pain of the whales. I feel the pain of the ocean. I feel the pain of the water table. But what I do with that pain is I channel it into positive empowerment. I channel it into radio shows such as this, thereby hopefully channeling that empowerment into you, the listeners of the radio broadcasts. I see all of it as opportunity for change because the problems now are so vast and so in your face that they simply cannot be ignored any longer. And certainly there are many people focusing on the problems. There are many people who are aware of the problems, but there are very few people who are focusing on the solutions to the problems because there are very few people who are aware of the real solutions to the problems. There's many people that keep attempting to work within the parameters of the system, many people who fail to see that the real answer lies within themselves. It lies within them changing their perspective of reality. And it always comes back to this, folks. I know I harp on with it, but it always comes back to this. It always comes back to who you are and the power that you have as an individual, because once you stand in that and apply that to the world around you, the world changes. I know I keep saying it, but it's what we need to do. It's where the focus needs to lie. So we can't petition the system. By petitioning the system, we're giving the system power. The system is fiction. You don't petition a ghost. You apply yourself to reality. It's just as I was saying last week, folks, what you're looking for really is self-realization. It really is. I mean, that is the greatest thing that will ever come to you. That is the greatest treasure that you can ever find within this reality is yourself. And when you can find yourself and you can find acceptance for yourself and you can fulfill your need to be loved, allow yourself to be loved, and allow yourself to love others. This is how we change the world. Self-realization and acceptance of yourself, these are the most powerful tools that you will ever find that can be used to shape your reality. And not just your reality, but reality itself. Because once you are in this energetic state, once you are projecting that into the field around you and you are walking in that and standing in your power and leading by example in all that you do, it rubs off on others. You know, here you have acceptance for yourself. You have the ultimate power of yourself. That's the thing, because we're taught to believe that we're not powerful. We're taught to believe that we need rulers, we need governance, we need people to run our lives for us because we're not competent, we're not smart, we're not powerful, we're not capable of doing it for ourselves, so we need controlling. We're taught this through our education system. We're given all these yardsticks to measure ourselves up to. Of course, we'll never make any of them because they're all fictional. And so we all judge ourselves poorly. We all judge ourselves as being inadequate. We all judge ourselves as needing to be controlled, needing to be ruled. Oh, yes, you've got to do what the government says. The government knows best. But what the government is doing is exactly the opposite of what is best for the species. And we have to get out of this mindset. We have to realize what we are and the power that we have as mankind. We can make this world anything we want once we realize who and what we are. And that's why the shows that I do, folks, have always been focused around this same message. I just want the people to wake up. Of course, many people are waking up, but there are still many people in cities who are not, and we are still seeing an incredible ramping up of the police state around us. But of course, the positive in that is that that is what is waking up many of the people in the cities who are still asleep. So it's always an equal and opposite reaction, folks, and I'm sure that we do achieve the desired result in the end. Now, getting back a little bit to what I was talking about earlier, as far as a gift culture goes, and the power of giving. I've had some incredible experiences in giving to people, folks. There's been times when I've given to people and I've instantly received things back from completely external sources. And there's a time when you just simply can't look at it as being coincidental anymore. You know, it becomes so synchronistic that you really begin to see a pattern in your actions, and you begin to see how the patterns of reality kind of work together and mesh together. And I've done this through following my intuition. When my intuition has told me to give and I give to a certain person, I've found that there's always a much, much deeper reason why I needed to give to that person. And I find that I'm never out of pocket by giving to them. Something always happens to balance it out. And it's had a remarkable effect on the energy field and some of the people that I've come in contact with. And the synchronicities in my life, folks, they really are quite amazing. And we all have the power to do this. We all have the power to live essentially magical lives, folks, if we simply look at reality from a different perspective and apply ourselves to reality. Start reading the energy fields around us, because you can feel the energies of people. You can feel the energy of the planet. You can feel the energy of a certain neighborhood that you're in. I mean, the energy here in Byron Bay, it's palpable. You can feel the energy in the air. We have to learn how to use these higher senses again. That's something that's very much missing in our culture. And that's very much what's led to the state of the planet at the moment. It's led to the state of the world that we see today. Because there are far more languages than what we actually perceive as languages, folks. There are far more languages than spoken language. But really, when you look at it, what you see is that modern Western language, modern spoken English, has basically been reduced to a language of symbolism. Only it's symbolism signified by sounds, but these sounds are duplicated by the written language. And the written language is most certainly a language of symbolism, because everything we do, we base on ink spots we put on pages, which are all simply symbols designed to convey a certain message and a certain consciousness into the people. There's been a lot of speculation from many sources as to whether the written word actually marked the beginning of the decline of human consciousness and decline of spiritual knowledge because of the symbolism involved in the written word and the way the written word causes people to think only in language. So, of course, their understanding of reality is based entirely upon their understanding of the language. And so, therefore, it's very easy to manipulate the education system and essentially dumb down the species. And one may, in fact, put up quite a convincing argument to speculate that this is actually the case of what has happened and that the decline of consciousness was, indeed, marked by the introduction of written language. See, even when you look at the symbolism involved in written language, the nature of the structure of words, how you think when you are reading something rather than looking at a pictogram of something, you would think, well, we do this because the pictogram cannot convey the correct message. It cannot convey the full story. But what if it could? What if it could if you were thinking about it with your right brain and you were communicating and accessing the information contained within the pictogram with higher senses in your body? You see, that's the thing. The written language locks you out of these higher senses and locks you into a totally contrived language of symbolism. So basically you're even thinking in symbolism, because when you're thinking in modern Western language, you're thinking in symbolism. It's very, very bizarre, and it's designed, I believe, purposely to disconnect the mind from a lot of what's actually going on in reality around them. You see, because people are trained to think in language, the only understanding they have of reality is that which they can explain in words and that which they can explain with language. And, of course, their entire understanding of what's even possible in reality and what reality is based on their understanding of the language. And if you find that most people have a reasonably cursory understanding of language, then they have a reasonably cursory understanding of the reality within which they inhabit. But again, folks, the real question becomes, what do we do about the situation that we're facing? How do we apply ourselves to the world in order to change the world? How can we stop the direction the ship of state is currently sailing in? Because the direction it's sailing in is ultimately leading to the destruction of the planet and all life upon the planet. Why are we allowing ourselves to be ruled by this fictional meme? And how can we break people out of the sleep, out of the trance that they're in? How can we change the paradigm? Now, these are the real problems that we're facing. It's all very well to point the finger at people, but what we need is a method of shifting the perspective of the people, shifting the overall paradigm of human consciousness, getting people to think outside of the box a little bit. Now, folks, I really look at this a lot, and I think about this a lot, and I look at it and I think, well, the reason people don't wake up is because they're trapped in fear. They're trapped in a state of fear-based mind control, mainly through the imposition of the money system upon the people, mainly by turning the human experience into commerce. This is the most effective tool that's been used to disconnect people from themselves and to keep people in this fear. And so this is why I stressed earlier on the importance of a gift-based culture, a gift-based society. And it always works, folks. It always works for me. I've been in situations where I've given to people and it's come back to me straight away. I've changed people's lives by giving to them. And people have certainly changed my life, and they've certainly helped me get the message out to people through their gifts to me and by giving to me. Every donation that ever gets made to the website, folks, I've got stacks of DVDs here that I give out to people. I've got so much effort that I go to try to wake the community up, and it's all because of you people. It's all because of the gifting of people to the Crow House. It's enabled me to keep doing these shows. Otherwise, I couldn't do it. I just simply wouldn't be able to afford to, and I'd be too busy trying to make ends meet and having to keep my nose on the grindstone. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm rich. I mean, I just scrape by the way I am, but at least I scrape by. It all just works out, and I am able to continue giving the message to people. We've got to get this gift-based culture happening. The property that I live on here, we've got a huge garden in the backyard now. A lot of people come and work on it, and it's all been gift-based. People gift seedlings. The seedlings get put in the ground. People gift the work to the gardens. the people who own the gardens gift the produce of the gardens back to the people. It's all gift-based. Nobody's trading money in any hands. It's all based on a communal spirit and a communal gathering of souls and all working towards a better future. And that's what we need. Because when we can embrace this gift mentality and this gift type of culture, we can remove the fear from people. They instantly let their guards down. They instantly snap out of that fear-based mind control. And they begin to see how the world can actually work, how things could actually run. And so that's what I mean by leading by example. You've got to be doing these things. This is where the solutions lie. And I've said, look, put in gardens. I've been saying this for years. And people might think, well, how is putting in a garden going to change the world? Well, it will, because it breaks down the barriers between you and the people around you, the people who come and participate in the garden. And when there's no money that changes hands, and when everybody's participating and everybody's reaping what they're sowing, all the barriers break down. Gardens are great tools for not only growing your own food, but also breaking down the barriers in your community, breaking down the barriers in the people that you feel you have barriers with and you feel you have division with, because most of it's manufactured. It's all flawed. It's all fiction. It's all based on yardsticks we're given to measure ourselves and measure our neighbours by. None of it's real. Everybody's valid. We're all valid. We're all in this together. And it's only because we're kept divided through the social structure that we're forced to live in that all of these problems exist and all of these problems persist. So we need to get over that. We really, really seriously need to get over it. We need to get over ourselves in many cases. Now, we're not all important. You know, you're not the most important thing in the world. You're not any more important than anybody else. But don't belittle yourself. Know that you are as important as anybody else. That's the thing, folks. In Lakesh, we're all in this together. And all we have to do is realize that, and we can change it. So that's how we change the system. That's how we change everything that's coming down the pipe. That's how we change the paradigm. We lead by example in everything that we do, and the world changes. It may be a slow process at first, but it will change. And we do have the power to do it, but first we have to discover who and what we are. So it always comes back to that. It always comes back to finding the greatest treasure and the greatest truth in your life, which is yourself. That's what it always comes back to. And that's why I harp on about it so much. That's why I continue plodding along with the same topic in an attempt to help people see the solution that exists before them. You see, we don't have to do what the government says. We only have to do what the government says because we live in a divided community. But if we've built these gardens, if we've broken these barriers down, and we put the whole relationship between ourselves and government back into trust, as I've so often spoken about, then we have the power to stand up to all of the problems that have been created by these governing bodies. See, it's all been created because we're just letting them. We're letting them because we don't know the power that we have, and also because we're not able to exercise the power that we do have even when we know it, not to its fullest potential, we're not, because the people around us don't know it, because we live in divided communities. So it always comes back to the same thing. So that's why it's no good looking for salvation from an external source, folks. That's why it's no good thinking anybody's going to save us, because we have to save ourselves. The government's there in place because the people who run the government don't believe we are competent or capable or even intelligent enough to rule ourselves. And you've got to ask, how intelligent are the people if they are so willingly going to allow themselves to be ruled? How competent are they? Well, of course, the elite have trained the general population not to be competent, but the information's out there now. There's shows like this. There's many people doing radio shows. There's films. There's movies. There's information all over the internet that are showing people what's going on now. So now we have the information in our hands, and we have the opportunity to display our competency. We have the opportunity to become all that we could be. So the real question is, are we going to rise to the occasion? Is mankind going to embrace the opportunity that it's been given? Because it is an opportunity. And I know how difficult it can be for people to shift their paradigm. I know how difficult it can be for some people to even imagine the concept of a gift-based culture. But when we can begin to see each other as valid, it becomes obvious that this is the way things should be done. I don't know how many people out there have read the Anastasia series. Fascinating series of books. There's one book in particular called The Book of Kin. I believe it was the sixth Anastasia book. And in The Book of Kin, it talks about the Vedic culture. It talks about how a Vedic wedding would take place, how the young lovers would find each other, how they would decide that they would be married, and how the community would provide for the young couple, and how society basically functioned as this gift-based society. And when you really look at the way life was in Vedic times, it becomes very obvious that that is how humanity should really be living. And if we had access to our higher senses, if we weren't kept locked down in this chemically, electromagnetically induced trance that most of the human race is in, we could achieve great things with such a society, as is depicted in Vedic culture. But we've gone down a different path. We've gone down a path of violence and destruction. We've gone down a path where we rape the earth for its minerals and we create weapons of violence from these materials. And we use these weapons to inflict ourselves upon others and inflict ourselves upon the rest of the earth. Some of the weapons of violence that we make may not even be classed as weapons. I would class something such as a drilling rig to be a weapon of violence because of the violence it inflicts upon the earth. And this really is not the type of technology that I believe humanity should be embracing. I think we have access to many higher technologies that we're simply not aware of because of our left brain education, because of our word-based understanding of reality. And there are literally so many things, folks, that keep us locked into this matrix that we believe to be real. But I think there's a lot more going on. Some of the things that I've experienced in meditation have shown me that there is a great deal more going on. And I think I'm about to find out as well, actually, folks, because I've actually been invited to a retreat in Peru for 11 days to do ceremony over there and have a bit of a cleansing and a healing. And so I'm sure that will be an interesting experience as well. And again, this has come about in a very, very synchronistic fashion. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that perhaps on next week's show, but I think we're running out of time now. It is getting close to the end of the show. And so I won't launch into a whole new tale at the end of the broadcast. I'll just leave the whole thing until next week. But it has been an extremely synchronistic set of events that has led me to be going to Peru in late July. So I'll be gone for 2 weeks in the beginning of August. So there won't be any shows for the first part of August, I'm afraid, folks, unless I can manage to do a show while I am in Peru. But I'm not sure whether I'll be able to achieve that or not. But I'll keep you posted on that anyway. You never know. You just never know what's going to happen these days in the world. Nothing surprises me anymore, folks. Even this trip to Peru doesn't actually surprise me because of some of the other synchronicities that have been happening in my life. And so I just throw myself to the whim of the universe and I let it all unfold before me. And it always just seems to work out exactly the way it's supposed to work out. But as I said, folks, we are getting very close to the end of this show here. I'm going to try and have Rick Simpson on the show next week. I was going to have him on this week, but I ran into all sorts of dramas and difficulties in making it happen. So I'm trying to catch up with him during next week, and I'll record a show that we can play you next week on the air. Be very interesting to hear what Rick has to say and where his life has been going in the last couple of years. He's been traveling around in exile, healing people around the planet with his hemp medicine. I think he's been having remarkable results in doing so. And, of course, there are many alternative medicines that people can use to cure the many ailments we're faced with by society, folks. So I suggest you look into some of those. I've got a big cancer section on the Crow House. There's a lot of hemp cures there, and there's lots of other information there as well. And there's also some good stuff on the links page on the Crow House to go to find some alternative medicines and alternative cures to things. I've also been sent a few websites that I've actually got to get to and get posted on the links page as well, because I've been sent some good healing sites as well. But in everything we're facing, folks, I know it can be daunting when you look at it. And you look at the whole thing and you just go, oh my God. And truly, it is a spectacular prison that they're constructing around us. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is hope for the human race. There is still a great deal of positive stuff going on in the world. And there's still a great deal of energy that we can put into changing the world. I know it's going to get worse yet. It has to get worse because there are so many people who are still asleep. And so we need to expect to see that happen. But don't lose heart, don't lose faith, and don't lose hope, and never lose confidence in yourself, because the more hard it becomes, the more people will wake up. And eventually mankind will free itself from this prison. I have every confidence in that happening. And I just want you out there to also not lose heart with what you see around you. Don't lose heart with the fact that you're having difficulty waking up the people around you. You don't really need to wake them up to the corruption that exists. Well, what you need to do is show them a better way by leading by example in all that you do. See, that's where the key lies. It's all very well to be aware of the problem, but when you realize that the problem is being manufactured by a fictional system, and that you can simply step away from that system and thereby take its energy and its food away from it and cause the system to crumble, then you become empowered. You can step away from it by leading by example in all that you do, by building strong community, by being all that you were put here to be. See, I believe that everybody that exists at this present time in reality is here for a reason. I believe that we all came here to help shift this consciousness. At least those of us who are awake and are speaking out, I believe this is our purpose in life. That's what we're ultimately here for. This is the main event. We're participating in the main event right now. We are making history. And that is our goal. It's to help provide the positive energy that's needed to shift the paradigm and thereby free humanity from its shackles. The times are hard, of course the times are hard, and of course they're going to be hard, because such tasks are always very difficult. But in the end, the light does win. In the end, the light always shines through. All you have to do is to look at history. All you have to do is look around you. All you have to do is see the light in the eyes of the people on the street. See the light in the eyes of the youth. There is so much life and so much positive energy in this world. All we have to do is project it into reality around us by projecting it onto the people around us and leading by example in all that we do. That's how we change the world. That's the opportunity that we're being given, and now is the time that we can do it. So never lose heart, folks. Always know who and what you are, and always see the light at the end of the tunnel, because it is there, because we're creating it ourselves. It's been a pleasure speaking to you today. Thank you for joining me on the show. But that is it for now. I'm completely out of time. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then. In La Keshe.